listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
My sermon is all wet. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Heather and I were having an argument this week. Happy anniversary, honey. 17 years today. Yeah.
Don't clap yet.
just a breeze. 17 years. Heather and I were having this argument this week. And at the end of, let's just say, a crescendo of points that my wife was making, I make this snide remark. Can you believe that? And she responds, sarcastically and exhausted, "Thanks for listening to every word I've just been saying for the last 5 minutes." And then walks out of the room. What I had said seemed to indicate that I hadn't heard a word that she was saying, and that I was still insistent on my point, deaf to her concerns or her logic. 17 years today. One commentator calls Romans chapter 5, we read chapter 6 today, Romans chapter 5, a crescendo on grace. That's where I got that word. And then we start chapter 6 today with this snide remark that Mary read. It's a remark, even though it has a question mark at the end. It's a snide remark, as if we haven't been listening at all. God's grace gushing in all over the place in this Pauline beauty and form. And then, so can we just do whatever we want since we're saved by grace? And chapter 6 starts. If what I do doesn't save me, does it matter how I live? That's a stupid question. There are stupid questions. Thanks for listening to every word I've just been saying for the last chapter, Paul must be saying. No! It's a dumb question. And then Paul goes on in chapter 6 to drive it home even further and more vividly. Being baptized is dying. We don't often talk about baptism as death, but being baptized is dying. This is the image Paul gives us in Romans chapter 6. Being baptized, all that fun we have at the font, splashing water, getting wet, is dying, drowning to our sin. It's dying to all the sin and brokenness that is in us. If you are justified by grace through faith, apart from your works, on account of Jesus Christ, that, by the way, was the battle cry of the Augsburg Confession, and we celebrate that anniversary today too, June 25th, the Augsburg Confession, 15th century Germany. If you are saved by grace, if you are buried with Christ in baptism, then continuing in sin, staying the same way, it's not even a choice. So this is a dumb question. It's not even a choice. You are a completely different person, sisters and brothers in Christ. You are dead to sin. You died with Christ so that now the only life you have is the new life that you have in Christ. No, you can't do whatever you want because you've been baptized. You've been baptized into Christ. It's impossible to just do whatever you want when you have been baptized into Christ. That part of you has died. So I was thinking about our construction project here. Another way to put this, it would be like for the kids to say, we want to go out. Do you guys remember that playground that was along the back there. You kids remember that little playground along the back on the other side of that building? It would be like saying, we want to go play out on that playground. We want to go back to, not this playground, but we want to go to that old little playground with the sandbox in it, with all the, you know, it was basically a litter box, you know, for raccoons and cats in the neighborhood. We want to go back to that. That's a silly question. There's a whole new thing over there now. You can't go back to that. There's no way. That's impossible to go back to that. You can go out here. There's other places you can go. And now there's classrooms where you can learn and be nurtured in the faith. But you can't go back to that old playground. You see? Let me put it another way. Think about the last time that you visited a graveyard. The last time you visited a graveyard to visit the grave of a loved one who has gone before us. When was the last time you went out to the graveyard, particularly a loved one in a generation above your generation? So maybe not a spouse, but I want you to think about a time you went to go visit someone from a previous generation in a graveyard, maybe a parent or a grandparent or a great-grandparent. When was the last time you went out there to visit their grave, and why did you do that? Think about the reasons why you did that. There's probably a mixture of reasons, a mixture of emotions, but many times it can be just to give thanks for their life. It can be to tell the stories to maybe a younger generation. You bring your children with you and you tell stories about that person. Many times it can be just to remember or just to sit quietly. Maybe you talk out loud to that person. Maybe you sit and you listen. I've had experiences like this. You feel connected in a way when you go out there. Maybe even go out to celebrate. It's a somber celebration, but maybe you go out there to celebrate. I remember one time vacationing as a child in the Midwest. We would drive all over the country, and much of our family is from Missouri. We were retracing some of the old family's footsteps on this particular trip, and I still remember pulling into this farm country church, Freistadt, Missouri, down by Joplin in the southwest corner of the state. And right there, as we pulled into the parking lot, I still remember this, we would have hit it with the car, which means it was one of the first ones there. It's almost like a curb stop. We would have hit it with the car, but right as we pulled in, there's this giant tombstone, and across the top it says Roschke in all capital letters. It was really, really cool. John Edward Roschke was the name on there. But the Roschke was in great big letters. And we all did. I still remember all of us in the car just going, whoa. Yeah. John Edward Roschke, he's the first Roschke born on American soil. His father was the one that came over on one of the three ships and landed in New Orleans and then came up the Mississippi, and the German Lutherans settled just south of St. Louis. But John was the first to be born here on American soil. 1855 he was born. And he died just a month ago in 1919 on May 9th. Whoa, we all said. That's a different kind of a grave visit, a graveside visit. Because there, it was excitement. It was really this great excitement and energy. There wasn't so much the mixture of emotions. We never knew John Edward Roschke. We were just excited. It was a thrill, and there was curiosity about it. There was even some pride and love. Please don't feel like you need to take her out. I'm serious. I think we need the voices of children in our space. So don't feel. I mean, this is important. Yeah, she is welcome here, of course. Yeah, it's actually working with me here. Because we had this childlike excitement. We had this thrill. We had this love and this pride. We wanted to know more about this John Edward Roschke. It was tapping into my roots to pull into that parking lot and see that tombstone there. It was waking me up, in a sense, to who I was, where I came from, how I was connected in sort of this long lineage. Maybe you've had experiences like this too. This is baptismal remembrance. If being baptized is dying, which is what I said at the beginning, then remembering your baptism is visiting the gravesite. But visiting the gravesite not with a mixture of emotions, but with nothing but joy and energy and thanksgiving and excitement. Remembering your baptism, Martin Luther said, we ought to do this every single day. If you remember nothing else, remember your baptism every single day. It's going back to the graveyard. Go back to the graveyard every day. Mark yourself with the cross. Splash yourself with some water. Go back to the graveyard, but not with this mixture of emotions this time. I don't remember longing for the past when I went back and saw Edward Rochke's graveyard. I remember just being thrilled. I remember this joy, this thanksgiving, this hope, this connectedness with who I am and where I came from, which in my case is this old country in Germany and fertile soils of the Midwest, America's breadbasket. A daily remembrance of your baptism with the splash of water at the sink or in the shower and a short prayer. It's not a mix of emotions. It's all thanksgiving. It is a thrill, a hope, a pride, and a connectedness with who you are and where you came from. We are saints of God. That's who we are. We have died and been buried with Christ in our baptism. For many of us, that happened when we were little babies. We don't even remember it. Our community of faith brought us forward to die. We died right then at the very beginning so that we can live anew. The death that Christ died, he died to sin once for everyone so that all of us must consider ourselves as well dead to sin and alive to Christ Jesus. We are saints of God.
So can we just do whatever we want now?
You see how that just sounds silly? It just sounds silly. Mine is an illustration, this story about the graveside in Missouri. It's an illustration that doesn't even come close to what I'm talking about with our baptism. But even my Missouri graveyard experience, it changed me in a way. I learned also, interestingly, Freistadt, it means free place. Freistadt. Free place. So that's kind of neat to the meaning. I can never go back, once I've been to that free place, I can never go back to not being aware of who I am and where I came from. That'll always be with me. I'll always have that with me, even if I'm embarrassing or shaming my great lineage. I'm forever changed by that experience. So it is with baptism, and even more. One commentator points out that Paul believes right identity precedes right action. Right identity precedes right action. So when you know who you are and who you belong to, then you start acting like it. Paul believes right identity precedes right action. I heard a story that one medical school professor instructed her students on day one of medical school to start calling each other doctor on that first day of med school. They're all thinking, I'm not a doctor. Right identity precedes right action, you see. When you know your name, you start acting like it. Look back at the first page, pull out your worship folders, and look back at the first page of your worship folder. When we gathered around the font at the beginning, we all said together, joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. This is our identity. We are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Do you see that? And then skip over to the hymn of praise that we sing. It's a new melody, but it's an old identity that we've had with us all this time. We are living words of praise. That's our identity. Do you see that? And in our gathering hymn, as I was splashing you with water and we were singing to the melody of Away in a Manger, look at those words. This is all right at the beginning. We sang, it's here at the font that you offer a sign and you tell us, my children, you are baptized, you are mine. Oh God, you have called us, inviting us in. You have made us your household and freed us from sin. And we're about to sing in just a little bit. We are all one in Christ. We hear on Sunday morning our identity over and over and over because right identity is followed by right action. Right identity precedes right action. When you know your name, when you know where you came from, then you start acting like it. Today is an exciting trip to the graveyard. Pay attention. No silly or snide remarks because you weren't paying attention. Today is an exciting trip to the graveyard again, and we go away inspired, that is, filled with God's breath. We go away thankful and joyful and ready now to love and serve, knowing who we are and where we came from. And that changes everything. That changes everything. So now what? What's God got in store for us now? Amen.
At Shepherd of the Valley, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon, and to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. Evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.
Woo!